Hey guys, my name is John. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is June 29, 2011. I have a sponsor and I definitely use him. What it was like, I was born March 2, 1987 in a small beachside town on the East Coast. I grew up, my parents got divorced when I was 2 years old. My dad was a military man, kind of was all over the place, kind of absentee father. I always felt like that void that I hear people talk about a lot throughout my whole life. I never really felt different, but I definitely felt like something was missing from an early age. I remember my first drink was, I was 14, we went camping. I had no idea what alcohol even was, really. I mean, I was kind of sheltered. I remember they had a bottle of vodka, and for me, people were sipping on it, but I decided to chug it and spent the whole night throwing up in a tent. The next morning, you know, I woke up and I was like, I don't really like this stuff, you know, what's the point of this stuff? I didn't have that feeling of like, this is the answer in the beginning. For me, it was more a progressive type of, experience. About age 17 is when everyone else, the only thing to do in my small town was to drink. It was to go out and party. It was to go out and have fun, not really remember what you did, but have fun. And I remember, you know, it started to make me feel like I was loved again, you know, because I had that void of not feeling loved, you know, my whole life. I'm one of six kids. I think my mom kind of gave up by the time I was born. It's not like she gave up, but, you know, she just kind of let me do whatever I wanted to do. I was the young little spoiled brat that basically did whatever I wanted and with no consequences. So that was ingrained in me early on in life. Then when I was 18, my father passed away. I remember pushing everyone away, not wanting to, he was a good father. He was there, you know, through my teens and stuff a lot, but, I just remember wanting to push everyone away, and I wanted to be in my own world. I wanted to be comforted by myself. I didn't want anyone to help me, and I didn't ask for help. That's a continuing theme in my life is I can do everything. You know, I'm Superman. I can tackle all obstacles. So that's when it really got ingrained in me that if I do things to make me feel better, I don't have to worry about emotions. I don't have to worry about feelings. I don't have to deal with situations. And so once that started, you know, from then it was off to the races. I got in a lot of trouble at 18 as well. Got into a few accidents, hurt a few people, hurt myself, hurt, you know, the people I loved. Went to jail for 2 months for selling other substances, but in jail there was no consequences as well because I was drinking. I was doing hooch in there, drinking hooch for canteen items. It was pretty disgusting, but it worked. And then I moved out, or moved out. I got released from jail. I got released from jail, and I got my own place, and that was retarded. Got my own place, and, you know, I had the party spot. I mean, it was a small town. None of my friends had their own houses. They were still living at home. So I had the party spot, you know, and from then on, it wasn't fun already. At, like, 19 or 20, it started to become not as fun. So I said, you know, it's not the substances or the drinking. It's definitely the town. It's got to be the town. So I moved to Tallahassee to go to school, and that's when it became fun again. That's when, for the first, I'd say, year, it was fun. You know, I did have a good time. Didn't really see many consequences there. So everything was fun again, and it took about 2 years, about when I was 22, 23, for it to just come to a point where, you know, I didn't feel right without it, and I didn't feel right with it, and I didn't, it stopped working again. And that's when I stopped and experienced something that I never want to experience again. It was, I guess I had a chemical imbalance to the point where I was delusional. I had vivid hallucinations of things happening. I had voices talking to me. I had serious, serious, scary things going on in my head. And so I had to call my mom. I said, I got to get out of here. You know, like, I can't. Something's wrong. And I mean, I was so paranoid to the point where I had no idea what was really going on inside. I moved down from Tallahassee back home to the small town. And that's just when life became, I stayed clean for and sober for 3 months by myself and decided, you know, well, that's fine. I can do this. Like, I don't have a problem. It was hinted to me by my parents, or my mom and my stepdad, that you know, maybe you could be alcoholic. And I was like, that's not something that I am. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Clearly, like, I just have situations that happen to me that aren't in my control. I didn't do any of this stuff. Like, I didn't get in trouble. I mean, trouble came to me. Like, the cops shouldn't have done that. Like, clearly it's not my fault. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I say, you know, sober for 3 months, and then, it took a couple of my friends to just be like, come on, man, you're not doing anything. You're just, staying at home. Let's go out. Let's do stuff. So I went out, and I drank, and for maybe a week or two, I was able to control it. I was able to drink normally, sort of, and then it just got bad. It got bad pretty fast. I was working at my buddy's pizza shop, delivering pizzas. I was barely able to show up at 11 o'clock. I was barely able to go throughout the whole day. I mean, he was an alcoholic as well. He, before about around 5 o'clock, that's when he cracked the beers. You know, we didn't get a keg installed in the shop because we know we wouldn't be able to make pizza and we wouldn't be able to provide people food. As soon as 8 o'clock hit, man, that's when it was, I mean, we would keep the lights on, drink. People would try to come in and be like, no, we're drinking. This isn't a restaurant. What are you doing? And we would drink, and it got to the point where I didn't want to really, you know, I would still go out with my friends on the weekends and not really tell them that every night I was drinking at home by myself. And to me, that didn't seem like a big deal anymore. For some reason, it's funny, you know, how they say that you forget, you know, how bad things were. And in Tallahassee, I thought I'd never hit a low lower than that. I thought, you know, I thought that can't happen to me again, and it can't be as bad as that. It just wasn't in my mind. I never thought of that. And it came to the point where I was, you know, drinking every night, drinking a lot every night, to the point where I couldn't maintain friendships. I became the biggest liar. I remember I was such a hypocrite. My buddy was an alcoholic as well, and I would call him out and talk so much stuff behind his back about how he was a liar, how he lies all the time, about how he drinks too much, this and that, and I was doing it just as bad and just as worse. And it came to a point where I was working. My two friends, they both own pizza shops, and my other friend was like, you know, dude, you gotta stop. Like you're late for work constantly. You know, I'm your friend, but there comes a point where I'm actually worried about you. I need you. You know, I don't want to see you be like this. I mean, I looked horrible. I mean, I looked bad. I couldn't do laundry. I mean, I looked bad. So I was like, you know, for you, dude, I will stop. I promise you. And I don't know what it was. I'll stop for you. So that's when what I felt in Tallahassee, that paranoia, I later found out from the doctors it was a chemical imbalance in my brain from whatever I was putting in my body, that I lasted about 4 or 5 days after I stopped that I felt okay. And then it hit me harder than it was Well, what really happened was I was in my house, and I was watching TV, and I felt that feeling that I had felt before, but it was so much worse, and it was coming on so much stronger because I had been going, you know, doing drugs and alcohol so much harder that a branch fell from a tree that was above my house and hit my roof, and I thought it was the cops on my roof. And I had, there was a skylight above my couch in my room, and I remembered, like, not wanting to look up because then they would know I know they're there. So I pretended like, there was stuff all around me, you know. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to act like this stuff isn't mine, you know. I'll just kind of just sit here and show them that I'm just watching television. I'm not doing anything illegal. And so basically, it was bad. I ran out of my house with no shirt on, no shoes on, and ran, you know, real far to everywhere. I don't even know where I ran. I ran all over my town, and it came to the point where I actually started realizing that I'm crazy again. So the only thing I could think to do was to pray, and I've always prayed. But I only prayed when I needed God. I only prayed when things were really bad, and, you know, and things would get better because he would be, I thought he was just starting to take care of me because I'm talking to him. But I prayed. The cops came, picked me up, and I didn't know what I did. I didn't know what was even going on. But all I know is I ended up in a hospital, and they did all sorts of tests on me. They thought I had a brain tumor. I was acting that insane. So and, you know, long story short, I ended up in a psych ward. Never thought in my life I would be there. I stayed there for 4 or 5 days. I got Baker acted. Stayed there for 4 or 5 days, and my mom, I was talking to my sister, who's a physician, and she was like, you know, you need to get help. And I was like, you know, I was just willing. I was to the point where I had lost a lot of friends, done a lot of bad things, hurt people that I loved, isolated myself from my whole family. It was to the point where the hurt was great enough to say, you know, okay, I'll do whatever you guys want me to do. That's fine. So I came to Tampa and went to a treatment center in North Tampa. And I just remember they telling you, you know, that's the only thing I really got out of that place was not only the structure and to deal with some things of my past that I never dealt with, but it was also to they said, you know, you need to get a sponsor and you need to go, you know, we were forced to go to meetings, but you need to do this stuff and you will feel better. You will get better. And I just took it as face value. I just said, you know what, I'll do it. I'll do whatever you want. So, you know, luckily my sponsor came to speak at our treatment center, and I asked them first, the second step, you know, that for me, that was easy. I could tell, I mean, not many people end up in a psych ward running around town. And like, so I knew that all these consequences in my life, I started to have a frame of mind where I could see that, you know, I was definitely powerless. And when we did the third step, you know, I've never, it wasn't like an instant, you know, like just like a pivotal moment, but it was knowing that like God will take care of anything that is in my life that he, you know, and he'll put anything in my life that I need, and then he'll remove the fear, he will remove anything, you know, he'll do for me what I cannot do for myself. And the feelings that I've felt through going through the steps is something that I can't even describe. I used to walk around with fear of everything, fear of, you know, and I never thought, you know, I thought I was this big, tough, not big, tough guy, but, you know, I thought I was, you know, I thought I could take care of myself, and that's not at all what I really felt inside. That's the persona that I put out. The fear that I have that has been removed, the anxiousness, the everything that I wanted to remove by drugs and alcohol, God helps me with now, and it's amazing. And if you're new, I mean, this way of life, I wouldn't give this back for anything. I mean, it's a constant, it's a daily reprieve, but I feel so whole again, and I would not do anything, you know, to throw that away. So, thanks, guys.